Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Welcome to week 5 of our series, Developing a Courageous Heart. I'm so glad you're tuning into these messages online, and I pray they're a help to you. Our theme verse for this whole scripture is found in Joshua chapter 1, and our scripture this week says, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life." And the rest of this scripture, I want to ask you to say out loud with me there from your home. So you can read it off the screen where it says, "As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous." And I'll stop right there for today's purposes, because I want to remind you that in uncertain times, you can be sure that God is with you. You can be sure that He's not forsaken you. And inside of your heart, there can come out of you a strength and courage that's not of yourself, but is straight from God. And I'm praying today, as we get into today's message from the Word of God, that that strength and that courage will resonate from the heart of God through your heart as well this morning. I'm not sure where the last time you traveled by air was, but I know every time I travel, there's two things I pray. Lord, don't let the plane crash. Two, Lord, don't let them lose my luggage. Now, I know that those are two things that don't happen very often, but they're two things that really concern me. I just live in a little bit of fear, so I know I need to be stronger, and I need to be more courageous when it comes to flying. But something that I learned recently that didn't really help my feelings when it comes to flying across the country is that 1 out of 150 bags get lost. Think about that. Out of 150 people on a plane, someone's bag is going to get lost. I don't know about you, but every time I fly, I feel like there's a lot more than that on that plane. So the odds that someone's bag is going to get lost is pretty high. And it could be mine, which is terrible. But I learned that in Atlanta, there's actually a retail store that every bit of merchandise in their store comes from unclaimed luggage. In other words, people lose their luggage, and then they never claim it. The airline's never able to match who the luggage belongs to with the owner. And it goes to this spot where it's opened, and then it's for sale. They have everything from luggage to puppets, everything from clothing to sports items. Matter of fact, they've even opened a museum inside this retail shop that's all from unclaimed luggage. You may wonder, Pastor, why are you talking to me this morning about unclaimed luggage? Well, actually, I want to talk to you this morning about the unclaimed promises of God. I know it takes a whole retail store to take up and display all the things that are lost in flying, but I wonder how big of a store would it take to fill up and to handle all the unclaimed promises of God's people. How often do we have promises straight from God that we never take hold of? We never put our hands on. We never request them in prayer. You know, James even says, "You have not because you ask not." There's a whole lot of unclaimed promises in my life that I think I need to start claiming. And if we're going to be people of a courageous heart, we've got to learn the art of claiming the promises of God. Now, the last few weeks, we've been reading through the book of Joshua. We've been learning about the life of Joshua, but you know, actually there was another superstar in the book of Joshua that we haven't talked a whole lot about. You know, back when Moses sent in 12 spies to spy out the land of promise, 12 went in, 10 came out with a negative report. They said, "This is too big. There's no way we can do that." Of course, Joshua, he believed the word of God, but there was someone else who believed the word of God. Do you know his name? His name was Caleb. And Caleb's name has been kind of silent the last 45 years as they traveled through the wilderness, as they began to take Jericho and Ai and the promised land that we've been talking about. You haven't heard a whole lot about Caleb, but all of a sudden in Joshua chapter 14, Caleb's name comes up again. They have been displacing the enemy for about 5 years now. There's about 5 years between last week's message and this week's message that's taken place. And here comes Caleb. He comes to Joshua and he reminds Joshua. He says, "Joshua, do you remember when we were spying out the land? that God promised me the hill country. He said the mountainous region of the promised land would belong to me. And here I am. I'm 85 years old. Not about you, but that might be a little bit older than you are. He says, I'm 85 years old, but here's some good news. But I'm just as vigorous. I'm just as strong as I've ever been before. And he looks at Joshua and he says these words that really, really inspire him. He said, now give me my mountain. He says, I am here to claim the promises of God. I don't know about you, but it encourages me that 45 years of wilderness travel, 5 years of fighting for other people hasn't taken the promise of God off of Caleb's mind. I want to ask you this morning, I know there's a lot of uncertainty around you. You've been through a lot the last 15 to 20 days, but I want to challenge you this morning. Don't let the battle around you cause you to forget the promises of God. There are unclaimed promises that God has for you this morning that I want to challenge you to take hold of. How can you and I grab a hold of the promises of God? Caleb's going to be a great example for us this morning. And before we get into how and what he can teach us, I want to say a word of prayer with you about this message this morning. Father, I love you and I thank you for your word that never returns void, but always goes forth and accomplishes what you want it to accomplish. I pray that this morning, that's exactly what will happen in our time together, that as people are watching and listening, they'll hear more than just me. They'll hear the voice of God. That they'll hear and experience faith rising in their heart to begin to claim the promises of God like never before. And we'll give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Caleb inspires me. Caleb has been walking through the wilderness for 40 years with Joshua and a million other people. He has seen person after person who wouldn't believe, who didn't believe, who's now been set to rest, who didn't make it to the promised land. And now he and Joshua are the oldest two people alive. Joshua is 100 years old and Caleb is 85. Joshua at this point in scripture is thinking about dying. He's thinking about going to heaven. He's thinking about retirement. But Joshua is still grabbing a hold, still remembering, still claiming the promise of God. What an inspiration to me, and I hope it's an inspiration to you. I would just like for us to make a commitment this morning. Let's never get to a point where we stop claiming the promises of God. Whether you're 25 or 85 or somewhere between this morning, understand God has a promise for you today. Don't dismiss the promises of God. No matter how long it's been, no matter how hard life has been, no matter how long you've waited, claim the promises of God today. You may be wondering, well, Greg, how do I do that? How do I claim the promises of God? Well, I want to remind you of one scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says this, that no matter how many promises of God has made, they are yes and they are amen. And so I know today maybe you've been a recipient of many promises of God. Some of them you've seen to come to pass. Some of them haven't. I want to challenge you, hang on to, claim the promises of God. And Joshua teaches a few ways that we can claim the promises of God. The first thing he teaches us is this, that delay is not the same thing as denial. Joshua was one of those 12 spies, and Caleb was one of those 12 spies that went into the promised land, and they searched, and they brought back a report to Moses. 10 guys said, hey, these guys are too big for us. Like, we're like grasshoppers in their sights. But Caleb was not of that suggestion. Caleb said, listen, I believe we can do this thing. I believe God's word. And yet, despite his belief, Caleb spends 40 years wandered in circles not because he didn't believe, but because someone else didn't believe. Sometimes you can believe the right way. Sometimes you can live the right way, and yet there's a delay between when God promises you something and when God delivers it. There's times that I've wondered, what did Caleb think when he said, listen, I believe God can give this to us, and no one else believed him. I wondered, how was his attitude as they wandered through that wilderness for 40 years? And he's seeing those other 10 guys who refused to believe. Well, did he get bitter? Did he get upset? Did he ever want to point his finger and say, hey, this is your fault because you didn't believe? Well, we don't really know the answer to that, but I'm pretty certain he didn't harbor bitterness, because here's what I know. Courage and bitterness can't dwell together. We've got to be people that understand just because I'm waiting on something doesn't mean that it's a denial. I began this message talking about traveling. More than once I've been on a plane before and we landed at our destination or got ready to take off again, and they'll come over the intercom and say, listen, because of bad weather, your flight's been delayed. Not one time when I heard that my flight has been delayed when I was away from home did I walk out of the airport and decide to walk home. No, I've always stayed put because I understood something. A delay is not the same thing as a cancellation. I knew that if I would just wait, the flight was going to come. My trip home was going to come. The same thing when it comes to the promises of God. A delay is not a cancellation. Caleb had to wait a long time. I've never had to wait 45 years for a promise of God to come true. But Caleb waited, and he didn't just wait, but he began to petition God, Lord, give me this promise. And today I want to challenge you, don't let your delay convince you that God's promise for your life has been denied or canceled. Secondly, this morning, I would challenge you to remember what God has promised. Joshua chapter 14, verse number 6 says, now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb said this to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, and you know what he said about you and what he said about me. Joshua is 45 years removed from the promise of God, and yet he's bringing it up to Joshua. He is bringing it up. He is reminding Joshua. Caleb's reminding Joshua, do you remember what the Lord said? You know, 2 Peter says these words. He says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. See, Peter's saying the same thing that Caleb is assuming, is that if there's been a delay in my life, that does not equal denial. What that does equal is that God's been working on my behalf. There is some redemption quality in this waiting process that I'm in that I may not understand, but I know this, just because I'm in a delay does not mean I'm in a denial, and I'm going to remember through that delay what God has promised me. One of my pastors and mentors that I worked for so long used to tell me all the time, he would say, Greg, never doubt in the dark what God spoke to you in the daylight. There are seasons of our life where we're not going to understand why. Why am I going through this? Why am I fighting this? Why does God's promise seem to be on hold? And I want to challenge you, in those moments where it seems like nothing is happening, never forget the promises of God. Proverbs says to us that hope deferred makes our heart sick. And when you find your heart getting sick, when you find yourself frustrated, you find yourself wondering, is the plan of God, is the promise of God ever going to come to pass? In those moments, it's so imperative that you claim those promises with the word of God. No amount of time or hardship could rob Caleb of the promises of God. Remember what God has promised, because I've discovered faith is never dormant. Faith is always growing. Our faith is shrinking. Our faith is always being built by what we hear, or it's being torn down by what we hear. And the way we make sure our faith is always growing is by continually remembering what the Word of God says, or continually remember what the promises of God are for our life. That's why Romans chapter 10 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. You know, the enemy's going to tell you some things in your mind. He's going to tell you there's too much time's been passed. The enemy's going to tell you that what you're believing for is impossible. He's going to tell you that what God says to you is improbable. He's going to tell you the promises of God doesn't seem reasonable. The enemy could have told Caleb or convinced Caleb that you're too old, that Joshua has forgotten, or maybe the enemy could have told Caleb even God's forgotten. But Caleb didn't forget. And I can tell you this, God didn't forget either. And God has not forgotten one single promise He's made to you. I've talked to people before who says, you know, Pastor, I just feel like God's forgotten me. I feel like that I'm waiting for my turn and my turn never comes. Can I tell you this morning? God has not forgotten you. And in those seasons where you feel like he has forgotten you, those are the moments where you've got to grab a hold to his word. And if no one else will build your faith in those moments, you build your own faith by repeating the promises of God. And thirdly, never doubt God's ability. How do I claim the promises of God? Never doubt his ability. Caleb said, yeah, I'm 85 years old, but I've still got strength. I still feel good. I still trust God. I still believe that God is able to deliver his promises to me. You know, one of the exciting things about being the father to a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old is that so far, my kids still think I can do anything. I mean, they believe that I can catch them no matter where they jump from. And more than once, they've kind of caught me off guard and I've turned and they've been midair. And I've just kind of had to kind of grab them. And so far, I've never dropped them, thank the Lord. And in my house, I have become the chief expert Barbie repairer. I have become the toy fixer. I have become the expert. When no one else can get the clothes on a baby doll, Dad can get the clothes on the baby doll. So far, I have been able to fix every problem my kids have had. But here's what I know. The day's going to come when Dad can't fix their problems. But I'm thankful to know, and I'm doing my very best, to point them to someone who can fix their problems. I'm pointing them to someone who can never let them down and never fail them. I'm doing my very best to point them to a God whose ability never lessens, no matter how great their problem gets. Listen, the thing that separated Caleb from the other 10 spies that didn't believe in the beginning and everyone else today is that Caleb never stopped believing. He never stopped doubting the ability of God. I want to tell you today, God is bigger than what you're facing. Don't doubt his ability. Joshua chapter 14, here's the words that Caleb said. It may be that the Lord is with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Caleb was convinced that God was with them. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 3. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we could ever might ask or think. I'm here to tell you today, you can have confidence in the ability of God. Romans chapter 8, one more scripture says, so what shall we say to all these things? You can finish the scripture with me this morning. If God is for us, who can be against us? Never doubt the ability of the God you serve. But if you're going to claim the promises of God this morning, here's the fourth thing you got to do, is you got to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. You know, God paid Caleb one of the best compliments that could ever be said of anyone else, about anyone. In Joshua chapter 14, verse number 14, it says, I'm going to keep the promises of God to Caleb. And the Lord said, I'm going to keep them because Caleb follows me wholeheartedly. One of the ways that we grab a hold and we claim the promises of God is not just by knowing the scripture and saying, yeah, that scripture is mine and I'm going to believe God for it. One of the ways we claim a scripture and then we claim a promise is we put God first. We keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. We follow him wholeheartedly. That's why Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33 says, to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. You know, Caleb was faithful to follow God in Egypt as a slave. He was faithful to follow God when he was sent into the promised land as a spy and to hear what the word of God said. He faithfully followed God through the difficult time, which was wandering in the wilderness for 40 years because people didn't believe, even though he had been a person who did believe. He had followed God and sought God first for 5 years as they began to take the land of Canaan. Even though it wasn't the promise he had for himself, he just sought God first. And then he sought God. And he sought the promises of God by believing God in this moment. He wholeheartedly fixed his eyes on following Christ. And I believe that's why Hebrews chapter 12 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. I like what another version says. He's the author and the finisher. He's the starter and he's the ending. He's the one that always finishes what he starts. And friends, grabbing a hold of the promise of God is not just about knowing the scripture, saying, oh yeah, that one's for me. Part of claiming the promises of God is keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, whether it looks like everything is working or nothing is working. You just commit yourself. I am wholeheartedly following Jesus. And then you'll be amazed as he works and keeps his promises to you. In closing this morning, I want to make sure we're not a people who are forsaking the promises of God. I don't want us to end our life and somewhere in the resources of life there's these unclaimed promises of God. I want to challenge you to claim them today. I want to challenge us as a church to claim the promises of God. And we do that by realizing delay is not denial. We got to remember that God keeps his promises, that he is able to do everything he said he would do, and that he does those things as we follow him wholeheartedly. I would like to ask you to take a moment right now and ask yourself this question. What promise of God have I left unclaimed? See, salvation is a promise from God you can claim. Healing is a promise from God you can claim. Divine protection is a promise from God you can claim. There's financial provision that I believe is a promise from God when you put him first, you can claim. Divine direction is a promise from God you can claim. His presence being with you is definitely a promise you can claim during this season this morning. And yet, if we're not careful, we can let the distance we've traveled, the disconnect we feel, and the heartache we're feeling distance us from the presence of God or the promises of God. But I want to challenge you to be like Caleb and determine that I'm not going to forget the promises of God for me. Even in this season, I'm going to claim the promises of God. I want to pray that over you this morning. Father, I thank you for every person watching today. And Lord, here's the thing I know about every person who's listening to this podcast, who's watching this video. They are a person of promise. They are a person who the promises of God apply to. Because, Lord, you love us. And you called us by a name that's above every other name, the name of Jesus. And I pray that today that we would not neglect the great promises you've given us. I pray that our life would be marked by the promise of God, not marked by the unclaimed promises of God. So I pray right now, you'll just bring to people's mind the confidence to believe in what your word says about them. The Lord, they would not consider themselves disqualified from your promises because of how long it's been since the promise was made, or how far they've gone since the promise was made, or, Lord, just the difficulty they've experienced since the promise was made. But this morning, they'd laid claim to the promises of God and decide this morning, hey, that God's word is true, and I'm going to live my life on it. And so even if it takes a while, I'm going to understand that delay is not a denial. And I'm going to remember and even recite what God has promised me and let it build my faith. And I'm going to have confidence in every season of life and God's ability for me. And whether I see God working in the forefront or whether I just have to trust that he's working behind the scenes, either way, like Caleb, I'm going to follow God wholeheartedly. And Lord, I know as we do those things, we're going to see the promise of God come to pass. So I pray that over every person today. Pray that you'll do that in their family. Let their family be a family of promise. Do it in their health. Let their health be a display of the faithfulness of God. Do it in their finances. Do it in our church. Lord, let everything about our lives, Lord, let it be described. Let the faithfulness of God be seen through it all. And we'll give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, church family, I love you. And I want to challenge you this week. Would you with me focus on claiming the promises of God over your life? God bless you. We love you.